Hey there, Odyssey fans. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
Fluorine, bromine, iodine,
Jess.
Yeah, yeah.
The podcast just started. What are you doing?
Oh, hi, everybody. I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine, and I'm studying the diatomic elements, Bob, so I can help my granddaughter learn chemistry.
That's very thoughtful of you, but your granddaughter's only 4 years old.
You can never start too early.
Okay, well, if nothing else, you're in the right frame of mind for today's podcast. We're going to talk about this month's exclusive club adventure, Out of Her Element.
You know, I noticed a couple cool things about this episode. First, it's a show about Renee Carter, a character who's become very popular in the club.
Oh, she sure has.
Yeah, and second, you wrote this one, Bob. So how did you come up with this story idea?
Well, Jess, you know, most of our Renee episodes are written by Phil Lawler, who created this very analytical, practical college student so that Wit would have somebody to engage on issues of faith and philosophy. And that's been the focus of Renee so far. She's been in some great dramatic club episodes, but we'd never really heard her in what you might call a romantic comedy. You know, the thought of that really appealed to me, you know, imagining how she'd respond to that type of situation where there's no algorithm for emotions, you know. So in Out of Her Element, Renee starts getting signals that somebody's growing fond of her and she has to figure out what to do with those feelings.
Oh, and that somebody is Eugene's lab assistant, Horace. And we met him for the first time in Failing to the Finish Line and heard him again a few months ago in Lifted Out of Context. You know, that guy is an accident waiting to happen. He must have firefighter Rudy on speed dial.
No kidding. And just as I wanted to show a different side of Renee, this story also gave us the perfect chance to learn more about Horace.
Oh, I always love it when we pull back the curtain and reveal new things about our characters.
Of course, a big part of what makes Horace so much fun is the actor who plays him, Adam MacArthur. What do you say we get to know him a little better, too?
Sounds great. Adam, it is so great to have you on the podcast today.
Hey, guys. I'm super happy to be with you.
You know, we'd normally start off talking about our guest, you know, but if you don't mind, we're going to go a little bit different today, and we're going to ask about ourselves. So, because you got the role of Horace through an audition, and it wasn't your first audition for Odyssey, I was just curious about what you heard about Odyssey before your audition, and, you know, what's the reputation of Odyssey in the voiceover world, because you've done so much.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So my first audition for Odyssey, I did not get, which is, you know, that's kind of par for the course as an actor. There's a lot of jobs that I audition for that I don't get. But I have a lot of friends who are also on Odyssey. And so when the audition came through, I'm like, this is an opportunity for me to, you know, get to work with some friends. And, you know, I grew up actually renting the videos and,
oh, cool.
and the books and all that stuff. So I've known about Adventures in Odyssey since I was a kid. So as far as like the reputation goes in the VO world, all my friends who are on it before me, you know, love doing the work. And then of course, like, you know, because I've already known what it's all about, the reputation, I mean, I was excited to be a part of it.
Well, a little trivia tidbit for our listeners. A few years ago, you auditioned with us for the role of Maury Rydell, a part that, you know, eventually went to somebody else. And as you mentioned, actors realize they're not going to get every part they audition for, but it still can't be easy, Adam. So how do you kind of process and handle moments like that when you're disappointed?
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be things that happen that aren't exactly what we planned or what we wanted. And I think, you know, you just got to understand that there's enough to go around for everybody. You know, and if it's not this one part, then it might be the next part. And it's the, you know, you could apply that to a lot of areas in life. But I think, you know, I've been doing this for about 23 years. And at a certain point, you just know that, like, you know, I'm not going anywhere. So there will always be parts that come along. And sometimes you got to wait a little longer in between. But, you know, if you stick with it, like anything, and work hard, you'll have opportunities. So I just always remember in those moments of when I don't get something I want that, you know, eventually something will come around and I'm doing what I feel like I'm meant to be doing. So, you know, at some point I'll be able to do it.
Right. And when you got cast as Horace, I think the first episode was Failing to the Finish Line. It really wasn't clear whether the character would go beyond one episode. But when you came into the recording session, I mean, the producers, they're all saying, this guy has got to come back. So you really took advantage of that opportunity. But what did you do specifically, maybe, that you can remember to give dimension to a character that could have been kind of predictable or even kind of cliched.
Yeah, I really like to, well, first of all, thank you to the producer. Shout out to you guys. Thanks for bringing me back. this improv trick that I learned a long time ago that I like to apply when I'm sort of layering a voice for a character. And in improv, which is like, you know, you make up stuff on the spot, like it's a, you know, like a play or something like that, but you're making it all up on the spot based on an audience's suggestion. So if you ask the audience, like, you know, what's something you find in your house? And someone says, a door. You're like, okay, great. So I could make up an entire scene about a door, like, you know, turn the knob and open a door. Or I can take what they said, and maybe they said a door, which also sounds like a door, like I adore you. And maybe I make up a scene about adoring somebody. So in that case, what I'm saying is I'm thinking, like, multiple steps beyond what my first instinct would be. So for characters, I like to take, like, you know, the directions that the director gives me or that are in the script and then think just a little bit beyond. Like, maybe, you know, this guy, I mean, he loves science, so maybe he's been in the lab too long, so he squints when he talks, which makes his nose go up, which makes, you know, makes everything sort of nasally.
Well, you made Horace so endearingly awkward.
Oh, yeah.
We just love him. Yeah, when it came time for me to pitch a new story, Adam, I immediately thought of pairing Horace and Renee in some way that kind of helped us see both characters through a different lens, which led to this month's club adventure, Out of Her Element. What was it like working with Amy Pemberton and playing Horace as sort of uncomfortable around a girl?
Well, I think, I mean, it's so much fun. It's so much fun to play that aspect of a character because, I mean, we've all been there. I mean, I would like to say that that's acting, but that's really just pulling from a plethora of real life circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, you know, and it's, I mean, it's always fantastic to be able to be in a room where you're acting with the other actor. A lot of people might not know, but a lot of voiceover work, you're actually by yourself. So you're either listening to a recording of someone who came in before you and then acting off of that, or you're just someone who's not an actor is just reading the lines to kind of lead you in, and then you're going off of that. So anytime I'm in the same room as the other actor, it's always a lot of fun. And I think it really does help, especially me, it helps, you know, really make that stuff kind of believable and really feel authentic, which is important.
Well, right. And you've done so much other voiceover work outside of Adventures in Odyssey. And
well, you played Prince Lee Char on Star Wars, The Clone Wars. For those who maybe aren't as versed in the Star Wars universe, who is that character?
Yeah, Prince Lee Char is the 16-year-old Prince of Mon Calamari, which is an underwater world in the Star Wars universe. Prince Lee Char, he comes from the same kind of alien that people might have seen Admiral Akbar. He's the guy who says, "It's a trap."
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
That guy?
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he's Mon Cala. So they're from the same kind of underwater planet. So, yeah, that's Prince Lee Char. He is the future king of the Mon Cala.
I was just thinking of the nerves that I would have, like, on one of your projects, I know it was called the LeBrons, and it came from the mind of NBA star LeBron James. And I'm just a huge basketball fan, so I don't get starstruck much, but I think I would had I met him. So did you ever get to meet LeBron during, creating that show? And what was your role on that show?
He actually wasn't in any of our recording sessions. And he even had a voice double who would come in and do a lot of the parts that he was written in to do because he was just so busy at the time.
You know, we talked a lot about your voiceover work, and a lot of the Odyssey actors really kind of specialize in voiceover. But you also do some on-camera stuff. So you got to talk about how is TV and the short films, how is preparing for those things different than maybe acting and doing the voiceover work that we know you for?
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's really similar, actually. It's sort of, I equate it to like a technique. Like, you're doing the same thing, but the technique is slightly different. So, you know, in voiceover, you have to be a good actor. On camera, you have to be a good actor. But with voiceover, you have to be a good actor who knows how to do microphone technique. When you're on camera, you have to have good camera technique. So that means you know where the camera is. You're not turning your back to the camera. Same way as you know, when you're behind the microphone, if you're going to yell really loud, unless the engineer is expecting it, you need to pull back from the mic a little bit. Or, you know, you need to make sure when you're talking normally that you're right up on the mic. So it's all very similar for me in terms of preparation. I try and be very free and open and collaborative. I think that's a really important aspect to being an actor. I think your own process is really important, but I also think getting feedback and allowing a director to help mold you is really important. And it's all the same, you know, whether you're on camera, whether you're behind the mic or on stage or anything like that. I think it all sort of boils down to you just got to be a good actor and continually work to get better, and it'll all fall into place.
Well, given a choice, does one medium appeal to you more than the others?
That's a great question. I think it goes in waves. It's sort of like food. Sometimes I just want to eat tacos only because I love tacos. But every once in a while, I'm like, you know what? I should probably have some Chinese food today. So it's kind of the same. Although I will say, you know, I've been very fortunate to do what I've done, been able to do in voiceover, and there's a lot of freedom in it that is not the same as on camera. I mean, if you're on a show for 4 years on camera, you know, you might be more easily recognizable, you know, physically. So if you're out and about, people might stop you and stuff like that. I mean, I still get to enjoy a normal life, but, you know, with the added benefit of doing what I love and, you know, being on a few shows and all that stuff. So, I mean, this is the problem. I want to do it all. But, you know, if you forced me to pick, I would probably pick voiceover.
Speaking of doing it all, I read online that you did this show called Showdown at High Noon, where you were the actor, writer, director, editor, sound editor, digital effects artist, and the executive producer on the production. So there's got to be a story here.
Okay. There is absolutely a story here. And the story is, you can't always believe what you read online.
Oh.
Yes. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that you were looking at my IMDb page.
Yep.
And you saw that listing on there. And, yeah, so basically, I have no idea what that project is. somehow, somebody credited me for something that I've never done. I've contacted IMDb multiple times. They will not remove it. And I have had so many people ask me what in the world it is. And the simple answer is, I have no idea. I have no idea what it is. But somewhere out there,
yeah,
there's some really talented guy doing too much work.
Well, we do imagine that all the things you've told us already, we know you're a multi-talented guy who's probably used to dealing with the unexpected. So how about an unexpected question from one of our fans, also known as a
TRQ,
or totally random question. This week, Peter F. wants to know, what vehicle do you drive to work?
Ooh, great question. So I had the same car for a very long time. It was 14 years old. I loved it. I got rid of it. And I am currently driving a little electric BMW i3.
Oh, speedy, right?
It's very, yeah, unexpectedly speedy. I would have never guessed that this is the kind of car I would be driving, but I actually love it. I think it's a lot of fun to drive. This is not a BMW commercial. I am not being paid to say my opinion. I love my car, and I actually love, I just plug it in when I get home. I never go to the gas station.
That's right. You know, and acting isn't your only passion, but you're also a kung fu champion. Okay, so which came first, the acting bug or the martial arts bug? And can one help the other?
Oh, wow. Great question. Yes. So I am an avid martial artist. Which came first? Okay, well, there's two things. My parents will tell you this from like a very, very early age. We're talking like five. There were two things that I started asking them for. One was to do kung fu, and the other was for an agent.
Oh, wow.
So I've literally wanted to act and do martial arts my entire life. My earliest memories are doing stage plays, and then watching Ninja Turtles and begging to be put in martial arts. So I started actually doing martial arts before I started acting. I started when I was 11. I did traditional kung fu, and I also did judo. So I've been doing those now for 26 years, and I've had the pleasure of competing nationally, internationally. I've traveled all over China and trained with some amazing masters all over the country. And yeah, I love martial arts. I definitely think that the two, martial arts and acting, can be intertwined. I think if you boil down what martial arts teaches you, it teaches you to be comfortable in the uncomfortable. So that means, like, you know, when you're holding a stance or getting punched or whatever, it's uncomfortable. It hurts. But you have to learn to be calm and be patient, and then you can overcome that difficulty. And I think kind of what we talked about earlier with acting, I think, you know, there's a lot of rejection. There's a lot of sort of negative things that happen to you when you put yourself out there as an actor. And I think it's the same thing. If you just remain calm and you can find some comfort, even when it's uncomfortable or doesn't necessarily feel good, you can overcome that. So, yeah, I definitely think my martial arts career and passion has helped me, know that I can do it. Yeah. In the entertainment industry.
Yeah, and discipline can be one of those things that it's not pleasant, but there are definitely rewards.
Yeah, yep. I always say, when you know the rules, it helps you. It's not a hindrance. It tells you exactly what you need to do, and being decisive and knowing where you're headed is really, really important.
Oh, good words. Adam, it has been a pleasure hearing from you today. The real you, I mean, not just the voice that was living inside my head for 6 months while I was writing the episode. But,
you can call me anytime. Don't let Horace take over.
Well, thanks again for bringing the words to life and making Horace such a fun character. We really enjoyed talking with you today.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much, Adam.
If you'd like to hear Horace, Renee, Connie, Eugene, and Jay together, Out of Her Element is available now in the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
Can we hear a preview?
Absolutely.
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club, Renee needs to rescue her chemistry grade, and the professor has a suggestion.
I'm suddenly reminded of an associate who would be more than happy to prepare you more readily for the exam.
A tutor.
Indeed.
But when Renee meets her new chemistry coach...
Horace, thanks for doing this for me.
Oh, no problemo. It's nice to have chemistry with a girl. I mean, talk chemistry.
There's more than one chemistry problem. This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
You know, Bob, the more I think about it, my granddaughter should stick with tea parties and coloring books right now. You know, there'll always be plenty of time for test tubes and periodic tables.
Good idea.
When she starts kindergarten.
Oh.
I can't wait to show you the great little chemistry set that I found online. But that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation to focus on the family.
Speaking of chemistry, if you join the club right now at AIOclub.org, you'll be able to read a full preview of the 25th Imagination Station novel, Poison at the Pump, an exciting race to solve a mystery and stop a deadly disease. That special preview of the entire book only lasts a few more weeks, so if you're not a member yet, this would be a great time to join.
You can also visit us online at witsend.org/podcast or give us a call at 1-800-A-FAMILY.
Until next time, I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day is an adventure.